thank you for tuning in today to our Wednesday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we'll be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
Well, good morning. Great to have you here. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll put a Bible in your hand. We're going to be in the book of Exodus here this morning. I've been given a reminder here that a few months back, I started to tell the worship team to go out 5 minutes before service starts. I said, I want you to start doing worship as people are walking into the building, as people are walking into the sanctuary here. I want worship to be going on. It reminds me of when I read about the temple and how anything that was happening at the temple, they always had music going on as the people were coming in. So that's the reason, and a lot of you have been looking at, gosh, am I late? And wow, it's not time yet. Why are you doing worship? Well, that's why. Okay, you're not late, it's okay. If for some reason you want to be here 5 minutes early so you're here when they come out, that's fine too, you can do that. But I just want to let you know that we just wanted worship music going on, live worship music coming on as you were coming into the sanctuary, okay? So again, if you wonder what that's all about, that was me. I did that. So wanted them to be able to have that music going as you're coming into the sanctuary. So with that, if you would turn to Exodus chapter 20, we're back in the book of Exodus. Woohoo! We're back in the book of Exodus. We're going to be starting in verse 8 through 11. We kind of have a two-parter here. So there's a lot to be said about the 6 days that the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea. And he rests in the seventh day, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it in verse 11, okay? There's a lot to be said there that I will say next week, okay? As an overview of 8 through 11, we will go through here this morning. So beginning here in verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so here we see, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The word Sabbath here in the Hebrew is Shabbat. And Shabbat means seventh day of the week. That's all it means. But it comes from the root word Shabbat, which means to repose, to desist from exertion, to cease, to rest. Okay, so it has there in the root meaning as well that not only is it seventh day of the week, but it also seventh day of the week, but also that day is supposed to be for rest. Okay, and so God in his great mercy has provided a remedy for being overworked, and that is you get a whole day out of seven in which to set apart for rest. And as we'll see in a moment, it's not just for rest, it's also for worship. And it's to worship God. Now notice it starts out here, remember. And you're thinking, well, remember, when have you told us to rest on the Sabbath day before? Well, he has. That's why it says remember. Go over to Exodus chapter 16. The first time Sabbath was used was when it came to manna coming down from heaven. Okay, and God would say, I want you to understand something. I'm going to bring heaven, manna from heaven. I'm going to bring bread from heaven. You're going to get up. You're going to collect this, and you could bake it. You could eat it just the way it is. You know, I'm going to provide for you every single morning. And here's the thing. Don't go out there and hoard it, because if you try and keep it overnight, the next morning, it's going to stink. Okay, it's going to become corrupt, and there's going to be worms in it and stuff like that. So don't do that. But You are to do that on the sixth day. Because on the seventh day, guess what? I'm not going to rain down manna from heaven. It's a day I want you to rest. I don't want you to go out there and collect anything. And so here we read in verse 23 of chapter 16, then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest. First time the word Sabbath is used. A holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all the remains to be kept until morning. So again, on the sixth day, gather twice as much, okay? So when the seventh day comes, you don't have to go out and gather it, and then you can just eat it, boil it, bake it, do whatever you want to do on that day. Verse 24, so they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were any worms in it, okay? Then Moses say, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, and they found none. Huh. Wow, amazing. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? I made it so clear. And yet some of you still went out to look for it on the seventh day. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. This is when he first gave them, this to them. So many weeks, if not months, have gone by the time he speaks this here in Exodus chapter 20. So they already know what a Sabbath is. They already know that they're supposed to rest. They already know that they're supposed to collect twice as much manna on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, they don't need to go out. So when he says here, remember the Sabbath day, that is what he is speaking of. A reflection there. Remember, we've already put this in place, okay? And so you are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. The word holy there means to be set apart. Means to be set apart. It's to be different than the other days. Now, later on in Deuteronomy, the Sabbath is explained that it also is a reminder of something else. Not only are we to rest, not only is it a Sabbath for the Lord, but it also says in Deuteronomy 5:15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Another thing that's supposed to be done on the Sabbath day is that you're to remember what God has done for you in bringing you out of Egypt. You're in bondage. You're no longer in bondage. He has brought you out of Egypt in order for you to serve and worship him. And that is a day of reflection of that. Now, I was not brought out of the land of Egypt. You were not brought physically out of the land of Egypt. So the Sabbath that we are talking about right here speaks of the Jewish nation, period, end of story. This is all speaking to the Jewish nation, okay? Now, remember to keep the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. It means being set apart. Leviticus 19:3 says, and keep my Sabbaths, I am the Lord your God. This commandment is worded this way to remind the Israelites their relationship with God, very special. Dave, my relationship with the Lord is special. Yes, it is. Dave, I believe that we should have a Sabbath day. I do too. Okay. So if you think I'm leading in a way that we shouldn't have a Sabbath, no, I'm not saying that at all. But I want you to understand what is being spoken here is specifically for the Jewish people because only the Jewish people were physically removed from Egypt. Okay? Physically removed from Egypt. And there are Sabbaths that he says you need to keep for this reason. I am Yahweh, your God. One true God, and they are to reflect on how he has brought them out of Egypt to bring him into the promised land, to bring him to this place where they have this special relationship to worship him and to serve him. Leviticus 23:3 says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation, an assembly. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Notice it says, 6 days shall work be done. Also says in Exodus 20, verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Sometimes when we go over, remember the Sabbath day, we don't read the other verses where it says, 6 days you will work. Work is a good thing. God wants us to work. In Genesis 2:15, the moment that Adam was created, we read, then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. He didn't bring the woman. He first brought the man. The woman wasn't even created at this point. And he told the man right out of the gate, as he breathes life into him, slaps him around a little bit. You awake? You ready? You ready to go to work? What? What's work? Well, I'm going to show you. And he puts him, boom, right there in the garden. And the first thing he tells him, guess what you're going to do? You're going to tend and keep it. And the word tend there means work. You're going to work the garden. And you're going to keep it. And it's going to be an honest day's work. And that work brings honor to God. And so we have this reminder, men are created to work. It's interesting how Paul would say in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we command you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Okay. Now, obviously we're talking about somebody who is physically able to work, okay? Physically and mentally able to work. We're not talking about someone that might have a challenge and things like that that prohibits him from being able to do that, okay? We're not talking about that. We're talking about those who are physically able to work. Now, God's word says this. This is how you will know. Jesus said this. This is how you will know that you are my disciples. Your love for one another. Okay? So if you call Calvary Castle Rock your home, we love you. We want to come alongside in any way that we can of whatever issue might be the problem. All right? The one problem we have here as we have grown is that you can kind of come in here and leave, and we don't really get to know you, all right? So what we have is we have what is called community groups. One of the reasons we have community groups is because we want you to get involved in a community group where you know some people in the church, that you have the community group leader that is there to love, exhort, and encourage you, to see you grow in your newfound faith and things like that, or your old-found faith. Okay, however old or how long you've been walking with the Lord, all right? The Bible makes it very clear that when we use our gifts, we use them in the church. And so you get involved, you get around people that know you. So when something happens in your life and you come to them and say, yeah, I need help with rent because I lost my job and this and that, and I say, okay, I understand that. And I might not know you personally because, like I said, things have kind of gotten bigger here. The first thing I ask is, are you part of a community group? When you say yes, I said, awesome. Awesome. I call the community group leader. Hey, yeah, we know this guy. He's been coming for a few years. He's wonderful. He's faithful. He takes care of his family. And yes, it's tragic that what happened, how they just lost their job and things like that. Wonderful. What can we do to help? Everything opens up at that point. Well, I need help with rent. Okay, are you out there looking for a job? Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, I'm doing these side jobs right here just to make ends meet. Boom. We write a check right then and there. Nothing else is even asked. That's how quickly we do it. However, When I'm talking to someone, and no, I'm not part of a community group, how long have you been coming here? Oh, for a few years now. Okay, do you know anybody in leadership? You know anybody? Well, no. Okay, what are you doing to try and put ends meet? Well, I put out a few, you know, resumes here and there. I've gone online, done this and that. How long have you been at work? 3 months. 3 months. Have you been doing any work whatsoever? Well, no. Wait, are you delivering pizzas? Are you doing anything? Can you get just a part-time? Well, I'm above that. Wow. Pride. Can't help you. Can't help you. Okay. I can help you this way. Let me show you in God's word that you are supposed to work. They have work over here. Oh, yeah, but I have this degree. I have that degree. It's way below my pay grade. I don't care. Go do that. Well, it won't pay me enough. Zero doesn't pay you enough. Do you get that? I should be paid on a scale of 1 to 10, about 8. That only pays about 3. Okay, that's 3 more than you're getting over zero. Get your butt to work. And once you start working, guess what? I will come alongside and I will help pay for things so long as you are working. Man was created to work, not stay at home. Not stay at home. Man was created to work. And many of you, and I'm not even going to ask for you to raise your hands, many of you, we have come alongside financially. You know why? Because you're a person that works. That's why. Everything opens up at that point. Dave, I just got a job, but I'm a little bit behind in rent or a mortgage. We'll take care of that. You got a job. Everything's awesome. You're doing what you're supposed to do. We can come alongside. We can help out with that. And we do that all the time. Every single Tuesday at our staff meeting, one of the things we ask, who's in need? What have you heard? What community group has called us to say, hey, this person needs money. Hey, this person, this is what's going on. How many times that happens every single week? And we usually, if a need comes up, we help out financially with that need. Because Jesus says, this is how they will know that you're my disciples, your love for one another. And we give financially all the time. A lot of times people come and they don't really go here, but they'll try and feign that they go here a little bit, or they're kind of on their way somewhere else and they stop by and say, yeah, I need $1,000. What do you mean you need $1,000? Well, I need $1,000 in order to make it to, you know, where I'm heading and this, that, and the other thing. Oh, really? Are you believing in Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah. What church do you go to? Well, First Baptist something. Really? First Baptist? How long have you been going there? Oh, years. Really? What's the name of the pastor? I don't know. You've been going there for years. You don't know the name, and you don't know the name of the pastor. All you're trying to do is come by because we're a church, and you just want some money, and you think you should get it because you're a church. It doesn't work that way. We are to help those, but especially those of the household of faith, it says. Now, we will always give food, and we will always fill up your gas tank in order to get you on your way, you know. But when it comes to coming along someone that really has a financial need in this body, we are very quick to say, how can we help? How can we help? How can we help? This is what God's word says to do. But guess what? You also have to do your part. You must work. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And so Paul says, if you do not work, you should not even eat. Okay? We're not as brutal as Paul. We'll get you food. We'll give you food. Paul's a little, you know, but we'll get you food. Verse 10 of chapter 20 says, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger. I don't know if this is necessarily an order of priorities of what people are worth. You know, you have cattle, then the stranger, but I don't think it means that. Okay, I think he's just listing everything. But he's even saying your beast of burden, you let them rest. Let them rest. Okay? Everybody gets to rest. Everybody gets to enjoy that it is the Lord's day. The stranger that's in your midst, man, don't do any business with him. Let him or her know when they're coming through. Guess what? No business is going to be conducted on this day. You are being forced to rest whether you like it or not, even for the stranger. And so again, 6 days you gather and work. Seventh day you rest. And when it says your male servants, your female servants, man, I'm sorry, but even as employers, I would love to be able to see if you're an employer that you say, yeah, we're closed on Sunday. We're closed on Sunday. Yes, I think that God is saying everybody should be like Chick-fil-A. You know, and Hobby Lobby. I know we could make a list. I'm just saying, from a hierarchy, it's still Chick-fil-A. All right, it's still the best. It goes, then it goes down to the other ones. But as we'll find out here in a moment, we also know that there are things that God has called you to do, whether you're a police officer, firefighter, work in the hospitality industry, all these other things that requires you to kind of work on a Sunday or during the weekend or whatever. We get that, okay? We truly, truly understand that. But if you're an employer, if you're a supervisor, and you have people that work for you that you know are believers, and then you have some that are not believers, allow for the believers to either have Saturday night off or on Sunday morning off so they can go worship. Your male, your female servants, let them go so they could go worship somewhere. Now, the root word for Sabbath, Shabbat, means to cease to rest, meaning it is not a day for business as usual. It's a day that you are to recuperate. Take a step back from life's ordinary routines in order to rediscover God's goodness and grace. And, and someone like myself, obviously, I work, okay, on Saturday night, Sunday, and last weekend was brutal. There is such a term as, oh, man, I preached my guts out. And you don't know what that means until you have two services on a Friday and then Saturday night and then a sunrise service and then two more on Sunday and then coming back here for prayer and praise on Sunday night. Holy moly, that's a gauntlet in a sense. And yet I also get to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I get to also experience how God takes over. And I just feel like I'm a shell of this person and he is just using me and everything else. But when he's done, I feel like I've been hit by a truck. And I just go, okay, Lord, I need to rest. And so for me, it's Monday. But sometimes Monday gets interrupted for ministry. And so you just pray, you ask God to give you strength, and you look to try and take some time out somewhere else. And so even though I try and have Monday as being my Sabbath day, sometimes it comes later on in the week, you know. Sometimes that's just the way it works. How did I get there? I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. So it's, oh, yeah, recuperation. This is why I have notes, so I can go back. So I think, and so the Lord shows that he's very serious about this, because here's the thing. When you take a day in which to worship God and to kind of recuperate from the days that you're working and things like that, what you're saying is that you trust God. He's the one that put this together, this format together. And it shows that you trust God. Now, in Numbers chapter 15, this command was so serious that a man was gathering sticks on the Sabbath, and he was stoned to death.
Neither death nor even life. Let nothing ever separate us.
We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Pastor Dave Love will be back tomorrow to continue our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30, and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45.
please be sure to bring a side dish to share.
And for young adults, our Arise Ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.